So there are two readings today. The first is Acts 16, verses 25 to 28, and that's on page 1112 of the Church Bibles. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open and everybody's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself, we're all here." And then the second reading is Psalm 78, verses 1 to 8. And that's on page 589 of the Church Bibles. O my people, hear my teaching. Listen to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter hidden things from of old, what we have heard and known, what our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power and the wonders he has done. He decreed statutes for Jacob and established the law in Israel, which he commanded our forefathers to teach their children, so that the next generation would know them, even the children yet to be born, and they in turn would tell their children. Then they would put their trust in God and would not forget his deeds, but would keep his commands. They would not be like their forefathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, whose hearts were not loyal to God, whose spirits were not faithful to him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Mark. Before I go any further, I'm going to pray. Lord, Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for this day, Lord, and thank you for the celebration of all the work that has been done in your name and that will happen in your name. So, Jesus, I pray now, as I speak and as George speaks, Lord, let it be your words and not mine. More of you, less of me, Lord. Amen. So, what I'm going to do is share a little bit of my story as to how I've ended up here. And you may have heard it before, but I was really recalled to remember that I would have thought this would have been impossible years ago. And I shared a little bit about Diane introducing me to coming to this church. And yes, I had two children at the time and then became three after a year. And so I started being involved in helping in groups. But that terrified me. It absolutely terrified me. I had no experience, I didn't know what I was doing, and very often I still don't sometimes. But by being involved in each of the groups that I helped in, my faith rose every single time. And as Steph shared about being at GLOW, very often my experience is that I say I'm doubly blessed by being in the group. And it's seeing how God works with our young people, with our children, from the smallest. You've heard this morning from one of the littlest, thank you for helping me. What a privilege to be a part of that. So we are called to pass on to the next generation. But actually, it's for each one of us right now. So while we are helping, while we are supporting, while we are coming alongside our children, God is filling each one of us up as well. So rewinding a little bit, while I was thinking, can I do this? Should I do this? I was led to a passage in Deuteronomy. It's Deuteronomy 6. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. Growing up, my story was one of coming from a single parent family. And during that time, I think 1 year, I went to 6 different schools. I had the blessing of, for a short period, of being taken to Sunday school for a short period. And that's when I heard about Jesus. And I loved hearing about Jesus. And very often when we're at GLOW, or whether it's running Bible Club, regardless of what the faith is, if there is faith or isn't faith, every child, when we open up the Bible, love hearing about Jesus. They love hearing the promise that they are not on their own. Life is hard. And it's hard for our young children and our people now. And when we were talking on Friday night about the promise that he will never leave them, you could hear a pin drop. They're hungry for Jesus, hungry for Jesus. And so I knew about the stories. Back in the day, I think we all had assemblies. I became a part of the choir where I would sing hymns. So I loved hearing about Jesus. I loved him. But I didn't know how much he loved me. Until I came through the doors. And then I heard of a different Jesus. I heard of a different Jesus that loves me so much that he would die for me. And I'm astonished on many occasions where children, I've heard as well, they can't quite work out, was it Jesus was born at Christmas or was it Easter? What was that? I'm astonished at how many people haven't been into a church. We had last year, year before, we had police come in for whatever. They came in and they said, Oh, I haven't been into a church before. How wonderful. That broke my heart. That broke my heart. And what I want to say this morning is that it's my responsibility, because Jesus said, now go and do what I do. That for me, it's no more complicated. Now go and do what I do. I don't want to have people, and we're talking about youth and children, but also these young people have parents. And if the children don't know, then the parents don't know. And so going forward, this is one of the areas that we're going to be looking at, is how can we strengthen our relationships with parents in the community as well. Talking about a few things going forward. How can we do that? And we've seen not only via Holy Trinity Church, but with our ministry with Riverbank as well. When we have relationship with parents, the children then come along and the relationships continue. Maybe George will talk a little bit about what's happened with our smaller group called The Bridge, where we have seen one child wanting to be baptized. another child too went on the youth weekend away. It's relationship. It's walking alongside somebody. So my story is that I said to God, this is it. But right throughout the Bible, we see people saying, I can't do this, but God can. So it is a challenge. I'm not going to say it's easy. And I'm so thankful to all the youth and children's workers that have not only blessed my children, but also the ones that pray fervently for our children. And I know you do it. You pray fervently. But it's not easy. It's not easy sometimes. Sometimes in the morning I want to put the duvet over my head. But God always blesses me in that place. When I come and I serve in groups, I sometimes wonder who is being blessed more. George.
Gabe here. Excellent. I'm adamant that I'm the worst youth worker in the world, but I also have the best youth group in the world. I'm adamant about that fact. I'm the worst youth worker in the world because we hardly ever get through any sessions, which, if you look at them, they are all smiling at me because they know very well that I think in the past 2 years we've not managed to get through a single session because we're incessantly talking and laughing and getting to know each other and being community, and I flipping love it. I've got the best job. I've got the best job. I love it. I'm terrible at it, but I've got the best job because of these guys and because of what they contribute to our church and our community. They're absolutely fantastic. Got Zach over there. He's hilarious. He's always smiling and causing mischief. We've got these two, Ashling and Amelie, who literally are connected by the hip, and it seems to be that they go around as a pair, and they will absolutely make me check my male privilege, which is fantastic, especially Amelie. There we go. She's making me do it now. Jonah over there is my video guy. We've literally sat there for hours and hours going through Instagram, watching funny videos, and I love it. It's so fun. Who else is here? Alfredo, you're hilarious. You're so good. He tells the funniest stories in Quest, but he's very, very quiet. But then out of nowhere, he'll just suddenly like come out with something hilarious, just really sharp and last minute, and I flipping love it. I've got a couple of the boys group people over there. We've got Elijah and Gabe. Elijah is just so clever, and he's come up with, probably recycled from his dad, as he's admitted to me before, he's come up with theories and all of these things where he's constantly making me challenge my own views and opinions, and it's just fantastic. And Gabe, who's like the social justice warrior of my own heart, and we literally just have, he's someone who just really cares about the world, and he really cares about justice and equality, and I love it. I've got the best youth group in the world. They are fantastic. And what's good about them is they just want to hang out. They just want to be a community. And that's only one bit of it. We have the bridge that happens every other Friday. They're just great. They're little. They're year sevens, and many of them did not grow up in a church community, and they've just kind of come up through Glow, and we've got them. And they're hanging out, and they're hilarious, and they take photos of me if they see me in the street and then post it on WhatsApp groups. And it's bizarre. In fact, there is a photo going around where some of them took a photo of my bald head and then put it on a barbecue, photoshopped it onto a barbecue, and they're sending that out everywhere. I've got the best youth group in the world, but I'm the worst youth worker because we don't do the things we're meant to be doing. And that's exactly the point. That's exactly the point, because we're authentic community. We are authentic community. It's just great. We've got all the Edward girls are over there. We've got Anna, who literally, if Anna is helping at something, she's there, and she's just, she will do it. She's just such a doer, and it's fantastic. And then Esther, who has the best giggle in the world. You're great. And I guess for me, I chose the Silas verse up there, the passage of Silas and Paul in prison. And I chose that partly because the first ever young person that I worked with was called Silas. And he was a kid from Peckham. And he was naughty, and he had a kind of gauge in his ear, you know, one of those stretchy things. And I think he was 13. And when I first met him, he was smoking, let's just say, things he shouldn't have been smoking at New Wine, which is what kids go to New Wine for, apparently. But I met him, and I just had some patience with him, and I realized I couldn't tell him anything. I couldn't say anything. There wasn't a formula. I was 19 myself then, but there wasn't a formula to be a good youth worker. There really wasn't. So all I did was I was just present. I was just present alongside him, and we had some laughs, and we had some fun. And I prayed. And then eventually he, all by himself, disclosed to me some of the tough things that he was going through. And I started crying when he started disclosing this stuff. You know, he told me that his mother had just passed away. And I was just so heartbroken by this. I was just in tears, and I was crying. And then he was crying because someone was crying for him. And something happened, a little bit like that prison. Being blown up by an earthquake, basically. It's a little bit like that, when something just shifts and breaks, and it only happens in relationship, and it only happens in proximity. And so I guess my big message here, my call, my vision for this church is, you don't need to be a good youth worker. You don't. You don't need to be a good children's worker. You don't need to be a professional. You don't need to know what you're doing, because I don't know what I'm doing. I've got no idea, not the foggiest. I've been doing this for ages, and no formula works. No formula works. But what does work is proximity and presence and being close to people. So if you have a personality and a brain, if you are a person, if you're a human being, and you're willing to step forward and be, hey, you're going to be a good youth and children's worker, because what they need is community. What they need is church. What they need is authenticity. And that is what we're doing here. And that's all we can do. And that's all we want to do. We are not a church of program. I'm not a minister of program. I'm terrible at it. If you've ever tried to see me lead a game, can't do it. Awful. Would you agree? Yes, excellent. But what I do like to do is just be. And then we see chains loosened. We see freedom come just in those moments. Another verse that we've had is from Deuteronomy, where and I've hung it up outside, where it talks about the eagle, God being the eagle that stirs the nest. God being the eagle that stirs the nest. And you know, when an eagle stirs the nest, what it's doing is it's taking those prickly bits that were pointing outwards, and it's moving them so that the prickly bits point inwards. And when they point inwards, it makes you uncomfortable. And for those baby birds, when they become uncomfortable, that's when they fly. And I think we're in a season where that is en masse a message that's being given to us. I think God is calling us to fly. God is calling us to fly. I think when we feel uncomfortable, and I'm feeling uncomfortable, I am. I'm feeling like something more is coming, and we've got to fly. That's our young people. You're going to fly, and that's us as a church. When it comes to youth and children's work, I really believe God is calling us to fly. And this is not a message that is, you know, I think a load of people here have switched off. And you've switched off because you think this message isn't for me. You think this isn't about me. And I'm so going to tell you you're wrong. This is a message for everybody. This is a call for everybody. If you honestly, if you are a human from the age of 18 to 118, like the street pastor's sign says, this is a message for you. You're not too old to do youth work, because the man who brought me to faith, my first ever youth worker, he was in his 60s. He was not cool. He was really dull. He was really boring. He was told the worst jokes. I remember saying to him, "Are you all right?" one day, and his response was, "No, I'm half left." Really cringe. But he brought me to faith because he was there. He brought me to the kingdom. He brought me into the kingdom because he was there. So if you are somebody who can just be there, if you are somebody who can just be present, you don't need any qualifications. You just need proximity. So shall we talk about kind of a little bit more about our vision, about what's coming next, how we feel like we want to fly?
So, our vision. Keith very kindly put our rambling of thoughts, and he very kindly put them into words. So our vision, to invest in the lives of children and young people by introducing them to Jesus and helping them to follow him. And I love what George is saying about proximity. I always excluded myself from youth, from the 11 upwards. But actually, that was me doing it. That was me doing it. And one of the new ministries that we started was called The Bridge. And that was because a lot of children came to the Club Glow, but they never made that step into youth. So a lot of them left. And so we started up this small thing because we wanted to be there. And now we have young people coming in after school, and it's relationship and it's proximity. So how do we do it? The first one is relationally. We believe in building friendships with children and young people, and that is the key to help them finding Jesus and walking with him. Prayerfully, we need to draw on God's wisdom and empowering in everything we do, keeping in step with him and drawing on the resources that he gives. Wholeheartedly, we recognize that serving in this way can be challenging and costly, as I've said, but it's crucial and it can be hugely rewarding as we see God at work. And as I said, one of the things that I have found throughout my time in children's work is that I am doubly, triply blessed. I never leave without God saying something very deeply to me. So what we need.
That's it. And I think one of the things I've discovered this week is the Greek word for believe is pistis, which sounds a bit rude, but it's not. But pistis means to believe, to have faith in, to be a believer, and to do. It is in the definition of believe. You cannot believe. This is in the Greek. Check it out for yourself. You can't believe without doing, because it's the same word. It's in the definition. It's right there. And so Christianity, guys, it's not just a thinking religion. It's not a thinking faith. And I think sometimes we reduce it to it. It is a doing faith. Jesus says, follow me. Follow me. And you can't follow him without doing. And I think this is something that I know I've learned in my life. It's the only place, a little bit like what Steph said, was it Steph who said it earlier? The only place I've really learned, the only place I've really been a disciple, honestly, is when I've been following in his footsteps and doing what he does. And so I've listened to many, many messages. I've listened to so many sermons, but I always learn more when I'm doing. Always learn more what I'm doing. And I might not be very good at doing it, but he is, and we're just following in his footsteps. The disciples just follow him. And so what we need out of that is disciples. What we need is discipleship. What we need is both our young people to be discipled, but also for us to be discipled as we do it. The Methodists have this really good model that I want to nick, and it's one of the Wesleys came up with it, and it was literally like Sue, hold my hand. Sorry, I'm just going to wipe my sweatiness off. It's literally just a case of discipleship is one person ahead of the other. Jesus is at the head, and I'm literally just, you know, we're just one step ahead. And so with young people, what we need is people who are willing to take them by their hand and just be one step in front of them. Just be one step in front of them. And that way we learn from Jesus. And as we learn, they learn. Everybody's learning. Everybody's learning. And that to me is church. Jesus Christ, when he decided to change the world, when he decided to come into earth and bring the kingdom, he started a youth group. He started a youth group. His disciples were teenagers. They were. He didn't pick really clever people. He didn't pick politicians. He didn't pick accountants. He didn't pick executives. He picked teenagers to change the world. And I really believe that. So I guess what we want is people to come and join us as we do what Jesus does. It is that simple. Because you must be like a child to come into the kingdom of God. So we learn from them. But also they then learn from us for just that one step we are in front. It's so vital. This is for everybody. And practically speaking, that means we need leaders. We need people who will set that direction in being one step ahead, decide on programs, build people who build teams. We need helpers. That's people to support leaders in running groups and activities. Gosh, we're not saying that you need to be somebody who's going to talk from the front or lead games, but actually you can just be someone who's just there. We need supporters, so people who are helping in practical ways, setting up and clearing up rooms, making materials and resources. We've got Phil, who comes in after Glow every other Friday and clears up. That's what he does. And it is so important that we have that, because it means that we're not there till the end of time, clearing up on a Friday. And actually what we also need is people to pray. We need people to really come before the Father and pray for us, because while we're doing this discipleship things, as I said to you, we don't know what we're doing. He does. And what we need is his presence, and we need people who are willing to pray and be with us. So what we're not asking for is, I'm not Oxfam and saying, come give me your money. Keith does that, that bit. But what I am passionate about is saying, come and stand alongside us and alongside our children and young people. We need buddies. We need friends. We need grandmas and grandpas. We need aunts and uncles. We need older brothers and even great grandmas and grandpas. Gosh, I don't care how old you are. We need you. We need you because the body of Christ is family, and we need family. And if we're missing any block, if we're missing any piece of the puzzle, then we're falling short.
So, what we need. George has said a little bit about that. We have a vision. One of those visions is to extend what we do at Glow by introducing a smaller group called Flickr, which will be more Bible-based, but also more relational-based. So we can spend time together and we can look at the Bible. I love preparing sessions based on the Bible, and the children love it as well. So we're going to do something a little bit smaller. We'll still have the big Glow, but we're going to have something a little bit smaller, a bit more Bible based and that's been on request from parents as well. Can our children go a bit deeper? I don't know what that's going to look like, and I don't know if it's going to be a thing, but God knows. So we're going to ask in a minute for prayer, for wisdom. The other one is after the bridge, which is only for year sevens. We're rebranding a group called The Crossing. Do you see what we're doing? The bridge, The Crossing.
Flickr, Glow.
See? So from the bridge, which is only for year sevens, we're wanting to introduce a group called The Crossing, which is for year eight and year nine. Is this in your plan, Lord? We need to pray. We have a youth alpha starting. We have a team starting to form. But as George really impacted me, it's proximity. We need people to be there, to come alongside. And so we're going to ask you to pray this week. And Unca's just going to lead us in what that's going to look like.